I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight to the West Side Silverado Park for the JPA for ICTF on Tuesday night, November 13th, 2012. I'd like to do a roll call, please, Madam Secretary.
Board Member Lidle.
Here.
Board Member Shalani.
Here.
Board Member Nass.
Here.
Board Member Nizakowski. We have a call.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Just to let you know, Cindy Mesikowski took ill, so she won't be here tonight. Yeah, I'd like to make an opening statement. Persons in the audience may address this board in connection with any agenda item or during the public comment period. As provided by the Brown Act, the board has limited each individual speaking time to 3 minutes. Anyone desiring to speak during the public comment period is requested to complete a speaker card and submit it to the secretary prior to the start of the meeting. Okay, so right now we'd like to do comments from the public on non-agenda items. Is there anybody who would like to make any comments on non-agenda items? Yes, Mr. Cross, please give your full name.
My name is John Cross.
Got a quick question. I know you guys are joint power for the Port of LA and Port of Long Beach, but there's a rail line that runs behind my neighborhood, and the project that's being built by the proposed by the BNSF rail yard is going to take out a railroad bridge there and backboard trains in behind my neighborhood and schools. Now, since both of you jointly own that rail yard or rail line back there, how much information does the Port of Long Beach have on that rail yard or the rail line proposal back there behind the Stevens and residential areas? Does the Port of Long Beach have any information on that from the Port of LA? Because the BNSF is supposed to be taking out a bridge over there.
Maybe Chris can answer that. That's not part of the agenda tonight, but
you said non-agenda item.
Yeah, no. You know, I don't know what we can answer on that.
No, I don't have any information on that, but we can get the information.
Chris, do you want to make comments?
Yes, it's really on now. Okay, John, I just want to make sure I understand your question. Are you referring to the bridge that crosses Willow/Sepulveda right there? Okay, so that is a bridge that would be affected by the SCIG project. They're going to have to remove the bridge and replace it with a widened bridge that's in the environmental document. So are you referring to the fact that it is a historic bridge? Is that your question?
You know, actually,
okay, well, it's in the document.
May I interrupt? Just so everybody in the audience is clear, this is an ICTF JPA board meeting, and I am aware that there is another railroad project by the other railroad, BNSF, but that is not the subject of tonight's hearing. So if you have any questions about the BNSF project, that is a Port of Los Angeles project, and you could, direct the question to Port of Los Angeles, but not here.
But the Port of Los Angeles, Port of Long Beach jointly own them.
I know, but this is not the subject matter is for ICTF, and the ICTF project will be discussed later on tonight, but not the BNSF project.
Okay, because he said non-agenda items. Okay.
Right. Yeah. What I might suggest to you is that if you're really interested in that, you might want to come down to a Port of Long Beach Board of Harbor Commission meeting and ask it there, and we can either then address it there, what we know, if that's what you're asking, or we can see what kind of information we can get you, can or can't get you, okay? Next.
Hello, members of the board. My name is Angelo Logan. I'm with East Yard Communities for Environmental Justice. And I wanted to raise a item for potentially a future agenda or for consideration in studying the expansion of the ICTF. There has been some information that has been published regarding the Santa Teresa yard, UP yard in New Mexico, and the way that it's been shared in newspaper articles and so forth, is to allow for capacity needs and expansion through the Ports of LA and Long Beach and the goods movement system in general. So I think that it's important to include a system-wide analysis of capacity needs within the goods movement system, not just in isolation, not just within the ICTF, not just within the port complex, but looking at the system in whole. So I would like to raise that project as a potential area to analyze as meeting the needs for the ICTF expansion. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to say anything, or Rick Cameron, do you want to address this in any way right now, or?
Chairman,
as we keep getting asked this
ceramic
question,
there has been discussion about the Santa Teresa Railroad facility in New Mexico. I think that's relevant to item number 11 on the agenda.
Okay.
Staff is going to be given a report on the preparation of the environmental document, and when we get to that item on the agenda, I think it would be appropriate to have some discussion of that.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Thiessen. Anybody else wish to make any comments on non-agenda items? Okay, we will go to the approval of minutes. Everybody read the minutes? Can I have a motion?
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Anybody in the audience wish to comment on our minutes? Okay, seeing none, we have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Okay, motion passes unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, I notice it's like a verbatim transcript instead of minutes, so it's got every yeah and in it, and I'm just, is that the, it seemed like a different format. Is that how they always work?
Yeah, that it surprised me.
Okay.
Are we going to do that? We aren't going to do that every time, are we?
Seems like a lot of...
Yeah, members of the board,
unnecessary work.
In the past, we have provided a legal transcript of the proceedings here tonight. We had received numerous comments from members of the community, and in order to capture their comments, we provided a that sort of service. We will not do that every meeting. And I do agree it is a little wordy, and we will annotate those in the future.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for bringing it up. Okay, item D is election of officers for the 2012-2013. Can I have nominations?
I would nominate Cindy Misikowski for president and chairman.
And I would nominate Nick Schrammick for vice chair.
Okay, and I'll second the motions. The motion? Can we do that on one motion, I assume? Okay. Okay, have a motion and a second. Anybody in the audience want to make any comments on that? Seeing none, we have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay, now item E, board reports the executive director. Mr. Thiessen, you're on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We have a number of items on the agenda tonight. The first item is a request to approve the acting general counsel for the ICTF Joint Powers Authority. You are probably aware that Mr. Thomas Russell has retired from his position at the Port of Los Angeles as general counsel. Joy Krause is acting assistant general counsel, for the City of Los Angeles Harbor Division, and is serving as acting general counsel now for the Port of Los Angeles. Mrs. Krause is here with us today. Just as a way of background, Ms. Krause has worked on JPA legal matters for numerous years. She has done a very thorough job for the JPA, She is familiar with all aspects of the current joint powers authority, the existing contracts, the JPA bylaws, and our ongoing EIR preparation. We're recommending that the board appoint Ms. Kraus as acting general counsel, and also that the board find that this activity is administrative and it will not result in direct or indirect physical changes to the environment, and such is not a project as defined by CEQA guidelines sections 15378.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to just for the record, thank Tom Russell for the years that he put in as our general counsel here. So really appreciate what he's done. I don't know if anybody sees him, but I'd like to, you know, at least tell him that we appreciate it and put it in the minutes that we appreciate everything that he's done.
If it pleases the board, we could write Mr. Russell a thank you letter for his service.
Please.
To the JPA.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Can I have a motion on appointing Ms. Kraus?
So moved.
Moved.
A motion and a second. Okay. Any comments from the public? Seeing none, have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay, Mr. Thiessen, next. Recommendation to move the meetings. Maybe you can explain a little bit about what this is about and why.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The JPA bylaws dictate that the annual governing board have a meeting on or about July 1st. It has been difficult to get a quorum during the summer months for all four JPA board members. It has, for whatever reason, one person would be traveling, another person on vacation. Furthermore, it is a little early in the season when we start receiving the financial reports from our auditors. So it has been the custom in the last few years to hold JPA meetings later in the summer, sometimes as late as September or October. Consequently, it is the recommendation of the JPA staff that we change the bylaws accordingly to modify them and move the date of the annual governing board meeting to October instead of on or about July 1st. An amendment to the bylaws would be then prepared and provided for the JPA's consideration at a future meeting. This item is a recommendation to do that. We don't have the bylaw amendment available tonight to vote on, but wanted to put this before the JPA board for their consideration and approval.
Okay, did you want to also talk about the finances and when we get?
Yes, thank you. We, as you know, and there's in the agenda tonight on the subsequent items, requests for approvals for various financial documents, including a proposed budget for subsequent years' spending. The auditors of the Joint Powers Authority in recent years have been completing those activities, sometimes in late July and sometimes into August, and even into September when there's documents that have been difficult to finalize and complete. Not having those documents completed in time for a meeting in July would cause a need to shift the meeting a few months later. So consequently, it would be I think better for the JPA to formally reset the board meetings in October, at least one meeting a year, and that would give the staff and the auditors ample time to get the financial documents together, review them, and schedule a meeting with the JPA board that accommodates everybody's schedule.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thiessen. Okay, if that's okay with the board, I have a motion to amend the bylaws, please.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion, second. Anybody in the public wish to address that item? Okay, seeing none, we have a motion, second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed? Okay, motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay, now the financial update.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The financial audit for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2011 is completed. The audit determined that the fiscal year documents, the financial positions, the change in the financial position, and the cash flows are presented fairly and accurately. The operating revenues for the fiscal year increased 4.8% to $3,999,544. The volume of the containers moved through that fiscal year ending June 30th was up slightly to 4% to 417,000 container moves. It's recommended the governing board receive and file the financial audit report for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2011. Just a couple comments about the financial audit. KPMG has been doing the audit for the JPA for many years now. They also provide audit services to the ports of Los Angeles, Long Beach, and the city of Long Beach. And they have been reviewing the books quite closely. We have available, if questions about this or the next couple items come up, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sam Jumblot, available.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Thiessen. Any questions by commissioners? JPA members, board members, know where we are. Okay. Can I have a motion to
move it?
Okay, we have
second.
Motion second. Okay, to approve the audit. Have anybody in the public from the public wish to make any comments? Seeing none? Okay, come back here. Have motion second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay, the next one is the AUP.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Ceramic. The net facility revenue report and AUP is attached for your review and approval. And this is ending period November 1st, 2011. It's a little bit different than the fiscal year report. This is a annual revenue report. The KPMG again has reviewed the ICTF's net revenue during the year, and this is a slightly different calendar year. There were 409,448 gross container moves, generating gross revenues of $12,283,440. This is a slight decrease, 1.2%, from 2010. Over this specific reporting period. The gate fees collected by the ICTF less the allowable deductions result in a net facility revenue of just under $8 million, $7,950,476. As prescribed in the JPA governing documents, these revenues are to be equally shared by both the Joint Powers Authority and the Union Pacific Railroad. On November 1st, accordingly, Union Pacific transferred 50% of that amount, or $3,975,238, to the ICTF investment account, representing that 50% share. The final draft of the net facility revenue report is attached. The auditors and the JPA staff are in full agreement on all issues. We're recommending the governing board receive and file the net facility revenue report for the year ending November 1st, 2011.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Got a motion then?
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, approving the report. Anybody in the audience wish to make any comments? Seeing none, bring it back here. We have a motion second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passed unanimously. Okay, the reimbursable work order.
Thank you, Chairperson Ceramic. We're recommending that the ICTF JPA Governing Board approve and execute an amendment to the reimbursable work order with the Union Pacific Railroad, increasing the maximum reimbursable amount from $4 million to $5 million. As you know, the JPA staff and our outside consultants have been working for numerous years on preparation of the environmental document for the potential modernization of the ICTF. The Union Pacific Railroad agreed to reimburse these expenses, including legal costs, environmental costs, and associated staff costs associated with that effort, up to amount of $4 million. The expenses are now estimated to cost almost $5 million. An additional $989,000 is being estimated to complete the environmental work and the legal work due to delays and additional efforts that were unanticipated when this original reimbursable work order was approved. Accordingly, we're recommending the board approve and direct the executive director to execute an amendment with that reimbursable work order, increasing the amount to a not to exceed amount of $5 million. This is anticipated to handle all costs associated with the preparation of the draft and the final environmental document.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Thiessen. Okay, questions? Jeez, it's too easy on him. Okay, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion second. Anybody in the public wish to make any comments on this item? Seeing none, bring it back for the reimbursable work order change. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, we have unanimous decision. Thank you. Okay, the next is our budget, 2012-2013 budget.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The proposed budget for 2012-2013 is $3.7 million. Of that $3.7 million, and I'm sorry, I should have mentioned, attached to the back of your memorandum is the proposed budget. If you just flip the page over, you can see the existing approved, adopted 2012 budget, the estimated actual expenditures, and the proposed 2012-2013. The majority of the costs estimated for the coming year include $1.69 million, primarily devoted to environmental and legal costs associated with the modernization of the ICTF proposed project. And this, along with previous funds spent in this category, are estimated to total to about $4.9 million. And that's consistent with the previous item on the board agenda. Operating expenses for the JPA are relatively small, estimated to be less than $100,000 a year, and they include cost for accounting fees and that sort of thing. They're outlined in the proposed 2012-2013 budget. The other large expenditure that is kind of a placeholder that we've kept from previous years is this estimated $1.9 million for the widening of Sepulveda Boulevard between Alameda Street and the entrance to the ICTF. The city of Carson has for numerous years kept this project on their books, but they have not completed the environmental reviews. And as such, we are holding this $1.9 million as just a placeholder in case that were to be requested by the city of Carson. So accordingly, if you sum those totals up, the estimated expenditures for the 2012-2013 budget is the amount of $3,717,990, recommending that the Joint Powers Authority Board approve this as the budget for the coming year.
Thank you, Mr. Thiessen. I actually have a question on that. Is, does anybody have any conversations with the city of Carson about changes on Sepulveda, what they're going to do with this? You know, we're holding it every year. I'm just curious if...
I have not talked to them lately. We could do that and get back to the board. Again, this, every year, we kind of hold this over.
Does it go on forever?
Yeah, that's the question.
We're holding it as a placeholder in case the project comes back to life, and it seems to be on the back burner with the city of Carson. Mm-hmm. And I could get back to the JPA board with an update mm-hmm. on that.
Yeah, it'd be nice to just see if we should hold it forever.
Yeah,
what?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. What they're thinking. Oh, would you like to make some comments? Sure. Love to have, if you have any idea. If we're holding the money for you.
For the record, I'm Zach Gonzalez. I'm associate planner from the planning division. I know that the engineering division sent a letter last year to the board staff identifying what the status was, so I would recommend that the board staff reference that letter for okay. the record.
Okay, thank you.
We'll have to find that letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, well, at least, it'd be nice to at least have reference the letter and see what the status is on it. The other question I have is, since we're hopefully nearing the end of the EIR preparation, are we planning any future meetings when the EIR comes out or anything, and is it covered in the budget?
There are funds in the budget to conduct enough meetings as necessary when, for example, if we release a draft EIR and need to have public meetings,
yeah.
Those costs are in the contingency in the budget.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
No.
Okay, can I have a motion?
Move it.
Motion.
Okay, we have a
second.
Motion and a second. Anybody in the public wish to make any comments on our budget? Okay, seeing none, have motion and a second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay, in fact, I don't know if we'll refer back to a couple of these items, but especially the reimbursable work order. When we get to the later items about Environ and the I guess 8, 9, and 10, so maybe you can even refer back to a little bit to the reimbursable work order and what all is going on that. I'm not asking for it now, but just want to mention that. It all has to do with the EIR preparation and finalization of it. Okay, number 7, distribution of funds. Mr. Thiessen.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The as is the custom each year, the net revenue distribution from the Union Pacific Railroad is received and goes into the cash balance for the Joint Powers Authority. The estimated revenue and distribution of funds would leave an approximately $1.9 million balance, which is expected to be sufficient in addition to our proposed budget to handle any additional costs. This would leave approximately $4 million available for distribution to the two ports to be split at a 50-50 percent, and that would leave a carryover budget of $2.6 million for the fiscal 2012-2013. Based on the expected expenditures and the budget that was just previously approved, leaving this balance has seemed appropriate, and therefore we are recommending that the governing board authorize distributions of $4 million to the joint venturers, the Port of Los Angeles and Port of Long Beach, in the amount of $2 million each.
Thank you, Mr. Thiessen. Questions?
No.
I'll move it.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and second. Anybody in the public wish to make any comments on this item? Seeing none, bring it back. We have a motion and second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay. Then the next, what I'd really like you to do is maybe just, you know, tie the next three items together and say who's doing what and why we're doing it. I think that will help everybody in the audience understand
Mr. Chairman,
what's going on. Yes.
You know, it would seem to me that item 11 ought to go first before 8, 9, and 10, because I guess I'd like to understand what the status is of the EIR before we approve all these contracts, especially how it relates to their the railroad's new schedule. So
okay.
Does that make sense?
That's okay. Fine. That's fine.
Okay. Let's do that. We'll go to item 11. We'll take it out of order. Item number 11. We'll go to item number 11.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number 11 is a progress status report on the preparation of the environmental impact report for the proposed ICTF modernization project. Before I turn to staff and ask them to give the board an update, I would like to let the folks in the audience know we do have a Spanish English language translator available if there are members of the audience who require those services. I would also ask those who would like to speak on item 11, please fill out a comment card. We have them in the back of the room. I've received three of those, and perhaps that could be done now if there's anybody in the audience who hasn't filled one out while the staff prepares a report, and then we may get some requests for additional speakers beyond the three that I have.
Okay.
With that, just a little update. The staff has been working diligently with the Union Pacific Railroad and their legal counsel, our legal counsel and outside counsel. We've engaged a number of consulting firms, specifically Environ and E2 Managed Tech, to assist us in preparation of the environmental impact report. It's been very long and a challenging effort. There's been a lot of information requested by staff to the Union Pacific Railroad, and they've been forthcoming with that. But it's a very complicated and challenging project. Maybe I could turn the microphone at this time over to Mr. Rick Cameron, JPA staff, to give us an update. We also have other members in the audience who if the board needs more information can call on.
Thank you, Doug. Mr. Chair, board members, as you recall, at the last JPA board meeting in November 2011, there was a major transition that the board considered, and that was transitioning AQMB out of a consulting role and having Environ kind of take over the efforts that AQMB and AQMB's consultants had been working on previously. Since that board meeting and the board's action to move forward with Environ taking the lead as a consultant for preparation of the document, at that time there was a lot of analysis that was still uncompleted. For several months thereafter, into 2012, working with Environ and their subs and the JPA team as a whole, we were able to get to a point of almost completing that analysis. A couple events happened, though. And I think that kind of is where we are with regards to some of the delays that I want to highlight. As you also know, there was the release of the another proposed rail yard nearby. And JPA staff at that time had an opportunity to review some of those comments that that had come out on that draft environmental document. I think there were some significant comments related to questions about baseline, for instance, some of the updates to modeling, some other significant updates to data sources to be considered. Because we've committed, this board has committed, and JPA staff has committed with the Port of Los Angeles to ensure continuity and consistency amongst those environmental analysis, those draft documents for those two proposed projects. They are individual, as we know. We took a lot of time to really think about those comments and what it means for the proposed project before us, for the ICTF project and the draft EIR that we were working on. We, at that point, made some recommendations and consulted with the project applicant, Union Pacific at the time, that we actually do updates consistent with what the Port of Los Angeles was going to be doing with the draft environmental document for the SCIG project. And that took a little time to really get an understanding of what we were talking about, because they are two individual projects and there are differences. We made a collective decision with the applicant to proceed with making a lot of changes. What that meant was we had to go back and tear apart the engine and start from scratch. And that's what we've been doing really since really June. And part of that initial effort over the summer has been working with UP on data collection for a lot of the updated information we needed related to those changes, as well as confirming, ground truthing some of that information, and then handing it over to Environ for them to get up started on the reanalysis. And that's really where we are today. We're in the process right now of updating the draft environmental document with all those changes we've decided were important for a variety of reasons. I'll conclude right there. I'd be happy to answer any other questions. What kind of moving forward, kind of in conclusion, the goal, the schedule we have to date is that we're hoping to have a draft for public review in the spring. We're hoping for a late February, March timeframe. That's what the current schedule looks like. With that being said, we still have to go through putting together an admin draft. We haven't completed those analysis. And so I kind of use spring as a goal at this point in time. So,
do you have all the data from the railroad that you need to complete the EIR?
I would say we have about 95% of it at this point in time. But with that being said, we are also continuing to look at some of the data sets before we go through the comprehensive modeling effort. As you know, Madam Board Member, doing these analysis, we're doing co-equal analysis with these models. Once you press the green button, it takes a lot to go back and redo it. So we really are in a process right now of, one, making sure we have the right information, and we are waiting for some additional information to complete that as well.
And so I'm confused about how our schedule relates to this letter and events overtaking us and analysis being stale.
We're still looking at the letter as well. In terms of that relates back to some construction schedule. We just received it yesterday, as did the board and JPA staff. We haven't had a chance for the JPA team to really sit down and understand what that really means in terms of changes and whether it's going to be a significant delay or not.
I think you're Chairwoman Natz, I think you're referring to the letter that we received from Union Pacific Railroad yesterday regarding the schedule of the facility.
Right.
Each of the board members should have a copy of that There is a statement in there indicating that the construction of the railroad could commence approximately 2017. I'm sorry, the expansion of, or the modernization of the facility. The staff is still reviewing that and trying to understand what that means. We need to sit down with Union Pacific Railroad and understand that, like any project, if you receive approvals, there is still a number of years necessary to complete designs. Also, it includes negotiating a lease amendment. There's numerous things that, entitlements that need to occur. Sometimes they take years and years. So at this stage, it's a little unsure how that would impact the overall schedule, but suffice to say, the team is prepared to move forward and finalize the draft EIR and release it at this time.
I didn't know what the current schedule is as a comparison. So.
The current, notwithstanding, if we hadn't received this letter, the current schedule is a goal of the release of a draft document in late February, early March timeframe. That's the current schedule we have today.
Did we have a schedule that included start of construction?
Well, that's all built within the overall project description that we've been using for our purposes of our analysis today.
And I'm just, what was that date? I don't know what that date is.
I believe, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was
2014.
And as you know, that's for them to, the first step, first phase of them to proceed with any type of construction.
Okay, well, I'm pleased to know that you have 95% of the information and the other 5% is coming in. Do we know when?
We're continuing to work with UP on that information.
And it's, do we know when it's coming in?
I can't answer that right now directly.
Because I know that you guys can deliver EIRs, and it's, you know, I've learned that the applicant can control controls their destiny in the schedule. So I just like to know when you keep giving us a different schedule, and if we knew when you get all the information, then you'd be able to come up with a reasonable schedule.
I think I completely understand what you're saying, and I think my summary tried to highlight the fact that at the last JPA board meeting, we were hoping to release a draft document in the April to May timeframe. I don't recall it offhand, but that's what that schedule was. Obviously, there's been a lot of significant changes, and we had to go back and regroup on this, and including UP as being part of this, the applicant. They're very aware of that, and it takes a lot of time to go back and collect the data and make sure it's the type of data that we're looking for. We've ground truthed it, and we're taking that extra time. I think moving forward, the revised schedule has been to release in the spring timeframe a draft document. So that's been the revised schedule since we've made the bigger decisions to change baseline years, things of that nature.
Good enough. Mr. Chairman, if there are no other questions for JPA staff.
Go ahead.
You know, earlier on one of the other agenda items, I think it was, there was a deferral for staff to, I guess, respond to the question about the Santa Teresa, I think.
Right.
That you had. So I think it's in just for the record, last year's JPA board meeting, just prior to that, and actually during the testimony, Ms. Andrea Jurica had also presented the Santa Teresa as well as provided JPA staff with a lot of information. She subsequently has re-provided that information, and that is part of what JPA staff is using that right now as part of consideration of what we're preparing right now in the draft environmental document for the proposed project. So I wanted to respond back.
Yeah.
One, it's been received, not once, but twice. Just to kind of round up the questions that you had and that was posed earlier.
Okay, thank you. I think that helps. I actually have a question, and Ms. Cross, I just want to make sure I'm not doing anything I shouldn't be doing, but since the letter is now a public letter from Union Pacific, I'd like to see if I can invite Union Pacific, if you'd like to make comments, you don't have to, any comments on the letter or not. I'm just inviting Union Pacific to, you know, okay. The letter's pretty self-explanatory, so.
They don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm, I didn't know if you wanted to mention the letter or not, or wait till people see it in public, just now that it's public domain. You don't have to, Bill.
Mr. Chairman, just so the audience is aware, we received a letter yesterday from the Union Pacific Railroad commenting about the Santa Teresa facility. The Santa Teresa Rail Project is in New Mexico, just outside of El Paso, Texas. It is a new facility on the Sunset Route between Los Angeles, Long Beach to Texas, and it's a major improvement to their network. The JPA board members received a copy of that letter this evening as an information-only memo. It's not in the agenda this evening because the board wasn't being asked to vote on it. It's an informational-only memo. Attached also to that memo is some information about the Santa Teresa project from the UP's website and the letter from UP giving a relatively brief description of the use and purpose of that facility from Mr. Barry Michaels from the Union Pacific Railroad.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, you don't have to. I'm just inviting if you wanted to make any comments about the letter.
Only the letter speaks for itself.
Okay.
So we had a request last week about the tie-in of Santa Teresa and ICTF, and that's why we two items in that letter. A is re-informing the board what that project is, and answer any question about the project in Santa Teresa, which is a totally separate project. And of course, the construction date, not saying when we think ICTF may be construction.
Yeah.
Giving our best educated guess now after 10 years of project.
Okay, and that's
I just wanted to make sure
that's why
that,
I'm inviting him up there.
You still are, you know, want us to pursue the finish the EIR now, and because we've got a number of action items that relate to that, and you're going to provide the information, and you're the applicant, so
yes,
we're right.
Absolutely.
There's okay.
Confusion about Santa Teresa's impact of that.
Okay.
We have
all
previously
right.
said there's multiple ways we're going to handle the growth of Rail Long Beach.
Yeah.
That includes ONDOT. That includes ICTF. That includes this concept out there. All of those things have to happen. They're not in lieu of one another. They're all together.
Right, right.
Okay.
That may, and there's just so you understand, very public, Santa Teresa has three components to it. It has the largest component and the most controversial in New Mexico has been the fueling facility, which is moved over to El Paso. We need to be able to fuel our trains and move them efficiently. That's the largest component to it. Second component is a intermodal ramp to replace one that's in El Paso or New Mexico. And the third and final and smallest component is a block swap yard where some of the traffic coming from LA Long Beach could be reassigned out there in a classification yard to different destinations.
Well, I was
but
under
absolutely ICTF and the need to modernize, move forward ICTF is all part of our plan. And we encourage this board to do whatever they can do to keep the EIR moving forward so we know how we can construct the modernization phase when the time comes.
Okay. I was under the impression that the reason the staff weren't able to keep the EIR on schedule was because they were waiting on data from the railroads. And so that's why I wanted to hear you say you're going to provide that data so that the EIR can get finished, because these guys can do it, but they need the stuff to get it done. So.
Okay.
I didn't know whether this changed maybe your schedule when you're going to provide that information, but it sounds like it's not, and it's forthcoming.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions?
No, that's great. Yeah. That helps a little bit. Okay. Is that it from staff? Go ahead and open it up to the public.
I know what Dr. Nats is saying, and I appreciate that, and I would just reinforce the fact that it has been an iterative process between UP and the JPA team. And as you know, once, you know, we've we get into looking at data sets and things like that, and we think we got it, and then there's questions that we go back and we want to confirm. And if anything, I'd rather have that than just assume we got it right, and then we go off and uncover problems down the road. So in defense of UP, they actually have been very good. Obviously, we'd love to have all of it, but there are some tough questions or questions we've asked them as well, and they're working diligently. And they understand what this means as a schedule as well, and we're all working hard on it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Cameron. Members of the board, you should have at least four speaker cards that we've received. Before you get started with that, we have a little bit lighter than normal turnout for a JPA board meeting tonight. Some people were wondering if that was because the Laker game is on TV. I did want to emphasize we did a very extensive outreach for tonight's meeting. There were, and I have a copy of a document I can forward to you. There was different web posting, email blasts, newspaper publications. So we think the word got out to the citizens. And of course, all the documents that were on the board agenda are posted on the JPA website and available for citizen review. So we have, as I mentioned earlier, we have a translator available if we need one for anybody in the audience. But Mr. Chairman, you have four speaker cards before you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dietzen. Okay, we'll go to public comments. Wally Baker.
Thank you very much. Good evening. My name is Wally Baker. I'm president of Jobs First Alliance. And for the last couple of years, we have worked on Beat the Canal and other competitive issues, not just in the port, but in the community and with government and business and labor. And of course, I just want to say something tonight about how important this ICTF facility is, how important it is to move forward. I really appreciate the comments I'm hearing because it sounds like you want to get this thing through the process too. And we know the whole process does take time, but moving the EIR as fast as possible is very important. And we certainly know that this project, as it's proposed, will ultimately lead to better health, more jobs, and improve our port, and fit into not just Union Pacific's big complex, but into the Port of LA Long Beach and the entire region's goods movement. So this project, ICTF, is very critical, and we ask you to keep moving it forward as fast as you can. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Baker. Okay, next is Tommy Fave. Boy, you're looking good, Tommy.
We try to dress nice.
Do you think we were going to have some problems here tonight?
Yeah, right.
Maybe. Tommy Fave, thank you, board members, for giving me an opportunity to speak in front of you tonight. I just wanted to say that I wholeheartedly support ICTF's modernization project soon to come up, and we look forward to both ports working together. Railroad infrastructure is really needed in both ports. And when it comes to the modernization project, it will create good construction jobs, it will create good harmony and these type of projects. And I feel that this should be moved forward aggressively, hopefully. So Paul Harley, IBW, Local 11, including the building trades, wholeheartedly support the ICTF modernization project. Thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Okay, next is John Cross.
Yes, my name is John Cross. I'm the current president of the West Long Beach Neighborhood Association. We have our meetings here the fourth Thursday of each month. This is my community. And we're adamantly opposed to the expansion of the ICTF terminal. We have lived next door to this terminal since 1986 when it was built. And since 1986, the scope of the operation has changed dramatically. And we are suffering from it. At night, you cannot sleep because you hear the beep, beep, beep. You hear the trains slamming together, and they're blowing their horns more than ever now. And
It's not only that, the health of our community. They say it's going to be a clean rail yard. They're going to more than double the capacity of the trucks going in and out of the facility. Even if they're clean trucks, that's still a lot of pollution going in there, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. Right across from this street here, right across the street, is senior housing, Gold Star Manor. Right behind that is low-income housing, HUD housing. Just down the street is Stevens Middle School. Just up the street's Hudson School. And not count all the residents that live there. I'm less than a quarter of a mile from the main gate of ICTF Terminal. The rail yards have not been good neighbors since they laid their first spike in the ground. And Director Nance, you're right. They can control. You're the one that should be controlling. You should demand from them what you want. And that's what scares the hell out of us. What's going to happen 10 years from now when you guys are not here? You'll be retired or doing something else. And new directors come on. And they've got a 30, 40-year lease. And the projected growth that you guys are expecting from the port don't come. Do you think they're going to make any changes that comes along? No. They'll just step back and say, okay, we'll shut down. What are you going to do with it? So you're not going to shut them down. Once they're up and operational, they're not going to shut down. That's why we stress on the Escape Project as well as this one. Do not let this one expand. Make them clean it up. It's the third dirtiest rail yard in the country. No matter what conditional uses you put on that, they're not going to follow them 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, because they got a 50-year contract. They're not going to follow what you put in there because nobody's going to enforce them. They'll say, we come under interstate commerce. Now, I want to see all these union guys working. But wherever they build a rail facility, if you're going to the port, wherever, they're going to get it. And this program, beat the canal, you're not going to beat the canal because the Chinese government's going to control that canal. And you're sending all discretionary cargo through that canal. Put that on record. I know it's on record now. And I'll check with you in 10 years and we'll see.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Okay, next is Tony Rivera.
Good evening. My name is Tony from the West Side Council. We just opposed to this project, and one of the situations that we have is it's kind of weird because Carson should be sitting represented in this board here, and it should be somehow because they have a lot of stake on this one, and from day one I've been bummed that they're not involved. The second thing is these projects on the rail. We have on the west side, we're going to be inundated with traffic. This project and the other project, we basically anticipating to get shut down. One of the things that I would like to see on the EIR is the domestic move. It's been increased the domestic move that I think Union Pacific are not declared in some of these reports. We need to see for a fact how much local. Now, I'm not meaning international moves from the harbor to the rail and the rail to the harbor. I'm talking about the local moves because I see a lot of trucks that goes from the UP all the way to city industry or other locations. Okay. And that's going to tell us different numbers. We need to have the truth so we can work because we like the rail. But at this point, we don't want to be we don't like it because the way they're coming in and the past records, they need to clean up. They need to do work with the neighborhood. They really need to get how can it be get done in regards to the other projects. This is going to be a nightmare for all the Long Beach business, like the way it has been for years, the flooding that takes place on Sepulveda and 47. You think they care? No, the cars has to go another way. The resident has to pay the price. And I don't know if that's because of their yards. You know, their yards are big. The water, the concentration goes. I don't know if that's the problem. But they don't do anything. They don't do anything to try to mitigate next to the yard. What's the problem? So that tells you that they're not neighborhood oriented. And we are concerned as a business. They're going to shut every little business that exists in the West Side. We would like to see more proactive work, traffic to be concentrated with the projects and tell us what's going to be between all the projects and how it's going to be. So make sure that maybe we have to move and let the rail run in the whole place. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rivera.
Necessary for the JPA staff to continue work on the environmental document. There are three agreements. Item number eight is for a third-party independent EIR review. Item number nine is a proposal to amend the contract with Environ International. Environ is performing the bulk of the preparation of the draft environmental document. And then item number 10 is a proposed amendment to a contract with E2 Managed Tech. E2 Managed Tech is providing project management services for the JPA staff. Everything from review and managing the administrative and invoicing work, providing project management and technical input on the preparation of the document, and helping the JPA to produce all the documents even before you here tonight. So the first item, item number eight, is a little bit unusual. You may remember last year's JPA board meeting, there was a discussion and a question about independent third-party review of the environmental document. Some of the members of the JPA board raised a question about the consultants working on this project, who also happen to be working on other Port of Los Angeles projects. And there was a desire to have a third-party, totally independent consultant who could perform quality review and oversight in assistance to the JPA staff. The firm that was selected is Ascent Environmental, Inc. Ascent passed three criteria to convince the JPA staff they were the appropriate team for this effort. First of all, they possess the necessary technical expertise to provide this third-party independent review. Also, they currently do not work for either of the ports or the railroad or any of the other consulting firms on this project. So they're totally independent. They are going to look at this from the outside and not have any previous bias or any potential conflicts of interest. Ascent Environmental is located in Sacramento, California. They participated in a request for expressions of interest for this project back in September. The review identified three potential firms who could do this. The JPA staff reviewed those three firms, and the technical firm selected Ascent Environmental to perform this in third-party independent review. This particular contract was entered into in the amount of $100,000, which is within the JPA board executive director's authority. A copy of their agreement is attached to this item, but this is a recommendation that JPA board receive and file this contract with Ascent. Mr. Cameron and other members of the JPA staff are available if you have any other additional questions about this independent third party review.
I thought that was great. Any questions? I thought that, you know, gives everybody an idea of, you know, we are bringing in a totally independent company to, you know, oversee the IR and really do a double check on it. So appreciate that. Any other questions? Okay, anybody in the audience wish to comment on item number eight? Okay, seeing none, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay, item number nine.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, have motion and second. Anybody in the audience wish to comment on item number nine, the Environ doing the EIR preparation? Seeing none, have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Item number 10.
Move it.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for E2 Manage Tech to, for project management support. Anybody in the audience wish to comment? Seeing none, have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Still early, but it seems like it's late. Okay, motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay, any other comments by board members?
Nope.
Okay, we will have a motion to adjourn.
Move it. Move adjournment.
We are so adjourned. Thank you, everybody. I want to make sure everybody at least got a good explanation of, you know, what all we're trying to do on the EIR. So thank you, everybody.